With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between. This week we are joined by Thierry Neuville, the Belgian rally driver currently competing in the WRC. He has racked up numerous wins over the years in what has been one of the most successful rallying careers for anyone. He joined us to chat all about his journey up through the ranks, explains exactly how the World Rally Car Championship works, and we put him to the ultimate test in our Motormouth quiz. Thank you so much to you guys who continue to download and listen. If you like it, please do leave us a review. It really helps us to get bigger. Enjoy.
Welcome to Episode 27 of the Motormouth podcast. Before we introduce today's guest, we have to head over to the land that has the largest coastline in the United Kingdom at 350 miles. It is also home to the oldest wooden church on the planet, built in 1081. Yes, it's Essex, which is also home to the soon-to-be scholar Harry Benjamin. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well. Thank you for yet more facts about Essex. Always enlightening.
You're
always learning more with each podcast. I'm doing well, thank you. Still coping with lockdown life. Haven't been doing my exercise as much as I should have been.
No.
In fact, I've really fallen off the rails with that. But no, me and my shaved head are doing all right.
Good.
How about you?
Yeah, very well. To be honest, I've just taken delivery of my new car, which is sat outside, ready for me to take for a drive after this. So that's exciting.
Delightful. Very nice.
Yeah. Skoda. Nerd.
Someone's doing well.
Nerd alert. Right, shall we introduce today's guest?
I think so.
So today we're doing something new for us here on the podcast. So far, we've interviewed former Formula One drivers, commentators, promoters, GT racers, Le Mans champions, and Formula E stars. But today, we have a rally driver joining us. Today, we have Thierry Neuville, the Belgian rally driver who competes in the WRC for Hyundai Motorsport. He's won 13 world rallies, taking the top step on asphalt, gravel, and even snow. He's recently taken part in German touring cars to add yet another string to his impressive racing bow. Thierry, welcome to the Motormouth podcast.
Hello, guys.
How are you doing, Thierry, at the moment? How's lockdown, quarantine life treating you?
Yeah, basically, I have to say it's okay. I mean, obviously, we are used to be busy and traveling a lot. It's the first time, I think, since start of my career in motorsport that I have actually been able to not travel within 2 weeks' time. And now we are more than 2 months. So, I mean, it's something completely... Yeah, something I not have missed, but I realized that finally it was nice to spend some time home.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people have realized that it's nice to have a little bit of time out because it's such a, you know, you go 200 miles an hour on the track as well as in life as well. So it's nice to have a bit of home time. And speaking of home, where is home? You know, what was life like growing up for you, and how did that first bite for racing? Where did that come about from?
Yeah, basically, I mean, I have lived for more than 23 years in Belgium, very close to the racing track in Spa-Francorchamps, only 15 minutes away. So racing cars have always been a part of my life, but rallying as well, as my family brought me to some local events in that time. And that's how I got into cars and competition. I've always been a big fan of it. And I've enjoyed my younger years together with mates at school. And suddenly I got the opportunity to step into some car racing when I was a bit older. From the age of 16, I did some small competitions between friends on the fields with some old cars. Yeah, from there on, I realized there's some talent, there's some good feeling for cars, and I risked another step into the rallying, and finally it worked.
Why, Thierry, was there a reason you went down the rally route? Was single-seaters or touring cars, was that ever an option for you, or was it always going to be rallying?
No, it looked for me so much more difficult to achieve to be on a race circuit and doing this as talking about rally. I mean, we were never talking or dreaming about WRC. We were always dreaming about being a rally driver with our best mate as a co-pilot and having some fun on local roads on some very small local events. And as a spectator at that time, when we were young, obviously watching rallying was much more spectacular than watching cars driving around on a circle. So in rallying, you got to see crashes, spins, and some nice action. So that has always been my favorite. But I also went to watch every Formula One Grand Prix in Spa, and we lived really close as well to Nürburgring, which was only like 45 minutes away. So there have been a bit of both, but I think rallying is the better sport.
Yeah, but you also must be completely mental as well, because having seen some rallying and some of the shunts you've had, it is crazy. You know, talk about Formula One crashes, things like that. Rally car just seems like it's on another level. Do you ever get scared?
Scared? I don't know if I get scared. I mean, yeah, for sure, there is a risk, and we really know that risk, and we calculate it as much as we can as well. But at some point, there have been occasions where we have lost the control, where we ended up in the botanics, so in the trees. But we have always survived, and I hope it's going to continue that way.
Rallying is very different to other forms of racing in a number of different ways, not least that you have someone else with you in the car. That process of working with a co-driver, how does that work? Are you given a co-driver and you just are expected to get on like an arranged marriage, or do you have the opportunity to go and find your own co-driver?
Sometimes it feels like an arranged marriage, but to be honest, first of all, I mean, every young rally driver has started with his best friend, with his mate. He shared a passion. But for sure, further on, you get into more professional, more and more as you get into more professional racing, you need to have a lookout for a guy who is able to do the job correctly. My co-driver and my friend was really good, but obviously, there's also the financial question in the beginning of the career, where no money is coming and you're spending a lot. And for him, it wasn't possible anymore. So I had to change. And yeah, I found the guy to my next who was able to support me for the upcoming years in my career. And we did a long way together since 2011, and we have been pretty successful.
And through the WRC, you get to visit some pretty amazing places. It really is sort of a global championship. Do you have a favorite destination amongst all of that?
There are plenty of really nice destinations. I've always been a big fan of Rally Mexico, which is in a beautiful area in really high altitude. Probably the best on this place is that, we're going there during the winter time here in Europe, and over there it's basically always nice and sunny, up to 36 degrees. So it's always nice to escape during March, early March in Europe home and go away is the sun. It's a unique place, very nice stages. And I have had my first ever WRC podium over there as well, so good memories.
And actually, what we probably should have asked you earlier on, for anybody who's listening who might not be familiar with the World Rally Car Championship and what rallying is compared to other circuit-type motorsports, could you just explain a bit about how it works and how the races are held and the type of cars you drive?
Yeah, I mean, rallying is very complex and could be very long to explain everything, but basically, we are running against the time. So we have 3 up to 4 days of competition, starting very early in the morning, ending up very late in the evening. And basically, you have one base service area where all the teams are based, where the cars are serviced between the stages. And usually, you leave in the morning for a loop of 3 or 4 stages. You come back for midday service, and you head out again for the same stages in the afternoon. Those are then the repeated stages. And by the end of the day, the one who has done those stages fastest is the leader of the rally. And the next day, we have new stages, again, 3 or 4 or maybe 5 in the morning, and the same repeated stages in the afternoon. And we're going on like this until the Sunday afternoon, when all the times of the different days are taken together, and who was the fastest is the winner of the event.
I think you explained that pretty well. Yeah. And also, you race on different surfaces as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's the particular thing about rallying is that we are running on 3 different surfaces, sometimes 4, because we have also Rally Monte Carlo, which is basically a tarmac event, but in winter conditions with slick tires, but on tarmac, but on sometimes snowy roads. We have coming next Rally Sweden, which is always the second event in the calendar, which is completely driven on snow with proper spike tires, with long studs, and at very high speed. And from there on, we go for mainly gravel events up until 2 or 3 more tarmac events during the season, which could be a Tour de Corse in Corsica, Rally Germany, which is always one of my highlights during the season. And this year we should have Rally Japan as well on tarmac.
And do you have a favorite out of those surfaces?
My favorite is tarmac, because I've grown up on driving on tarmac. The sensation on tarmac are different. It's maybe less spectacular, but you need more precision on driving. The brakings, the forces are different. And also, the mistakes are paid cash. I mean, on gravel, we have big tires, we have very strong tires, we have long suspension. So even if you go truck a ditch with some of the wheels, you might get away with it. But on tarmac, as soon as you lose the control and you go into the grass or in the dirt, you lose completely grip, and mainly you end up by losing a wheel or even 2 or 3.
And how frustrating was it? Obviously, you know, coronavirus, there's a big thing at play here, and the safety of everyone is the most important thing. But how frustrating was it after your win in Monte Carlo to have to hold things up with this break when things were looking quite positive for you for this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we had three events in total already this year. So for sure, we had a very good start into the season, and we were looking forward to continue. But obviously, we have always been fighting for the championship more or less up until the last round of the season and the last couple of years. So we're going to be part of that group again, even if there are only a couple of rallies left. We are actually sitting third now, but not far away from the leader. So if we're going to get the season restarted soon, and maybe 4 or 5 rounds going to be left, everything is still open for a nice championship.
And you've come runner-up 5 times, right? This is 5 times. You've got. When are we going to see you winning? Is there going to be an opportunity this year for you to finally make that big step?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would have preferred to look for first place in a full championship, but this is going to not be happen this year. But I mean, still, if you get 4 rounds gone, the championship will be valid and going to be as important as it was before. But we're going to try. I mean, obviously, we were unlucky on Mexico a couple of weeks ago, where we got an alternator issue and had to retire. But as I say, we are still amongst the fastest and amongst the leading group. So let's see what it's going to be our future. But it's important for us, safety first, safety for all of us first.
Yeah.
Before getting back into our rally cars.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you look back through your career, can you pinpoint a real specific highlight? I mean, winning obviously Monte Carlo by the margin that you did must have been hugely satisfying. What would you say has been your highlight to date?
There have been many highlights. I mean, some events are maybe less highlight than at the moment, but they have been very crucial for your career and the continuing of career as well. So I have had a couple of events in 2011, but I knew it's going to be the last one if the result is bad, and it's going to continue if the result was good. And I was able to perform every time in the situation. But for sure, there have been moments like back in 2018, I won Rally Sardinia with only less than 2 seconds gap ahead of Sébastien Ogier, where we were fighting for the championship and as well for our own crowd. And I was able to do that. So I fought him down on the very last stage of the rally. So these were really great memories and moments where I really was able to feel the crowd, yeah.
What's your relationship like with Sébastien Ogier? Because obviously he's been pretty much an arch rival for the last few years. What's your relationship like with him?
Yeah, I mean, we have to cope together during the events. Outside of the events, there's no contact for sure. I won't say I'm a fan of him, but I have a lot of respect about his performances. He's the man to beat, clearly. It's very tough to beat him, even when he has a bad weekend. He's always able to score some points. So he's very tough to put him under the ground. But that has also brought us to better performance and have given us also the opportunity to improve and be as strong as him. Last year we were able to beat him during the season. There was just Oit who was a little bit quicker at the end of the year, but we have been growing every year and getting very close to our main goal.
And actually, one of the other things that people might not know about rallying initially is that as a driver, you also have to be quite technically and mechanically minded as well. Because if you have a crash or something happens in a stage where you're unable to get the car back to your team, you as a driver have to be able to sort of do a quick DIY job to make it drivable again. How do you come about learning that kind of side of things? Is that something you just had since you first started, or have you had to learn the ways, you know, the mechanical side of your car?
No, basically I have been pretty much involved into cars since my early years, and I have quite a big technical knowledge and about cars. So I'm not very worried in any of situations to get away with it and try to find a solution. For sure, there are some you can't, but I have always been very very good in trying to repair and fix the car to get it back to service. For sure, there are other teams and crews who don't have this experience. That's why we have did those training camps beginning of the year ahead of the first event back in the factory, where we learn again the techniques to work on our car, to change alternator belts and stuff like this, to be able to do quick repairs.
And just skipping back a few years, you've been with Hyundai since 2014. Just tell us a little bit about how that relationship came about. How did you get that opportunity with the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. Hyundai came into the WRC, was looking for a fast driver, and I was one of the drivers on the market. And I just came from finishing second behind Sébastien Ogier, who was at that time with VW. I came from Ford, and Hyundai hired me for the first 2 or 3 years, I think, we signed. And from there on, I have continued to work with Hyundai. I've grown in this team. I have enjoyed working with this team. Together, we have grown a big factory and team in Germany, which now is able to provide me as a driver a very good tool to go for victory.
Have you ever had, though, some incredibly uncertain points during your rallying career? If you could pinpoint what was the most uncertain point, because in motorsport, as a driver, it can be a very uncertain time. Have you had, and what have your dealings been with that?
No, for sure. I mean, as a young driver, you jump into the championship and you only think about going fast, but you don't think too much about being at the finish. And it's like I have grown for sure, and it was successful, and for me the right way to first try to go fast and then learn more and more with the experience to be consistent and get the points for the team as well. But there was a situation back in 2011 where clearly 2-3 rallies in a row, of doing the season, there was clearly the point that Peugeot Belgium Luxembourg at that time said, okay, we're going to go for one more event, we're going to see the result. And the first time was in Gran Canaria in 2001, and I was able to finish second or third by only 7 seconds from the leader. So that was a pretty amazing result, and we stick to that and continue. And there was another moment where we were not sure to have the budget to go for the last round in Cyprus, I was still able to fight for the championship, but the money wasn't there, and we find the solution. We went there. I was leading the rally. I retired by alternator problems, unluckily, but I was able to win the golden stage. And that time, Citroën was watching those stage, and they hired me for the upcoming year for my first season in WRC. So at that point, I wasn't sure if I'm going to continue or not after Cyprus rally. So, I mean, there were moments where it was really critical, but I always find some solution.
And it's not only rallying that you've taken part in. I was amazed to read that you took part in 2019, the German Touring Car Championship, for two races at the Nürburgring as a guest driver. And this is from Wikipedia, so apologies if my facts are wrong, but pole, fastest lap, led every lap, won the race, and then on the reverse grid in race two, started 10th, finished 6th. That's a pretty impressive touring car debut. What was that like as an experience?
Yeah, I mean, I have had a couple of experiences on circuit, but this was definitely the most interesting one and the most successful. Well, I have to say, I had some good training before. The car was working perfectly, but I didn't know the track at all, to be honest. I just one test day or one and a half test day ahead of this event, but good enough to get into the car, to find a good rhythm. It was really amazing. I enjoyed it a lot. I had good fun, but obviously the second race was pretty much chaos because there was a big, big rain coming and everybody went off the road. Unfortunately, I would have stayed out one lap longer. I would have won the race because everybody went to change the tires except one or two cars. And when we got out on track again with the rain tires, they stopped the race. So I finished 6th at the end. But I still enjoy that experience.
So is that something you'd like to do more of potentially in the future, circuit racing?
Yeah, I mean, for fun, definitely. The plan was to do maybe this year one of the WOTCR races, just for fun, and also with Hyundai, of course, because Hyundai is building one of the best WOTCR cars in the world right now. So there were plans, but also in the future, I definitely want to go and do the 24 hours of Nürburgring, 24 hours of Le Mans if possible, and 24 hours of Spa-Francorchamps, of course.
Amazing endurance racing. That's on top of circuit racing. Endurance racing, that's a whole other league as well. Have you had any experience with endurance racing before?
I have done the 25 hours of B-Trophy, they called it at that time, which basically are the smaller fun cab cars, which are really fun to drive, but very slow as well.
All right. How did you fare there?
I was driving in the double-seater car, and we started, all double-seaters start in the back of the field. So I was second in qualifying for double-seater. So I started in 93, I think, on the race. And I came in after half an hour. I was 36. So
that's not too shabby. Yeah, not too bad.
It was a lot of enjoyment. And I was driving with my girlfriend at that time. And we were having a lot of fun passing 60 cars in 30 minutes.
You were driving with your girlfriend?
Yeah. We had a double-seater, so we had two in the car.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
That is incredible. You don't hear that very often. There aren't many stories like that.
Was she not backseat driving the whole time? Like, Thierry, go this way, go that way.
No. I disconnect the intercoms.
Yeah. Very wise. Talking of intercoms, we have a little challenge for you here, and I'm going to hand over to my esteemed colleague to introduce you to our Motormouth quiz.
Yes, Thierry, welcome to Motormouths, the hardest quiz in motorsport because it really doesn't make a lot of sense each week. But basically, normally we have little clips that we play our guests, but clips are really hard to come by for the World Rally Car Championship. So what I've done is I've come up with some questions that we're going to ask you all about your career. And basically, you get them right and you get a point. Now there's a leaderboard, Brendan Hartley, currently tops the table with 12.5 points. There are 13 up for grabs in total. And 20th and last currently with 3.5 points is Karun Chantok. So he's the man to beat. So question one. And within all of these, there's sort of three parts to each question. So 3 points up for grabs. Where and when and what car did you score your first points in the World Rally Championship?
It depends if you count the two-wheel drive cars or the only the WRC cars. But in WRC, it was with a WRC car. It was a Citroën DS3 WRC. And it must have been, for me, in maybe Portugal.
Yep, yes. That's 2 points in the bag. And can you tell me a year to get three?
2012.
Absolutely bang on. That is a great start. 3 points in the bag. And yeah, so I was going for the official WRC cars. Okay.
Solid start.
Next one coming at you for another 3 points. In your WRC career to date, how many rallies have you started? How many wins do you have? And how many points do you have?
That's a tough one.
Let's start. So how many starts have you had?
In total? That's very difficult. I have done a lot of rallies. I would say 187.
Oh, I'm afraid not. Well, according to my research, it's 113.
Way out.
You're in the hundreds. That's still an impressive number.
I have no idea, to be honest.
How many podiums have you had? Not wins. How many podiums? Because wins was
in my whole career.
In your whole WRC career, podiums.
WRC, 36.
Oh, hang on, Harry. Before you give points or no points,
right?
This is a tough one. I'm thinking maybe if he gets
within a certain amount.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you a point for that because it wasn't 37, but it was 41. 41 podiums you've had. But I'm going to give you a point because you're close enough.
And this next one, I think if we get within, 100 points?
If you get within 100 of this, then I'll give you the point. So how many points have you scored in total so far in your WRC career?
Wow. In total,
you get within 100, I'll give you the point.
That's very difficult. I mean, I couldn't remember. I have done eight years. The last years we were always around 180, if I remember, or nearly 200, I think. So let's say 1,150.
Oh, you know what? That's fair play. 1,262 is
that was a good guess.
Still get the point.
He worked through that one. That was good.
That was good. So, all right. So that's 2 points in the bag for that one. So far you're on 5 points. Okay, a few more coming at you. Now this is one looking at your Twitter. Again, it's a tough one.
No cheating.
How many people do you follow on Twitter? How many followers do you have? And what was your last tweet? No cheating, please.
To be honest, very honest, I don't use Twitter at all. And I can tell. I have somebody working for me as well who do a little bit, but I never watch Twitter, so I couldn't tell you at all. Maybe I follow 700 people, and my last post must have been yesterday. And I don't know. What was the last question?
How many followers do you think you have?
80,000 or 90,000, I don't know.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm afraid you don't get any points.
Zero points for that.
You have 300, as of yesterday, you have 380, you follow 380 accounts. You have 111,400 followers. And your last tweet was an interview with Red Bull. But I'm afraid that's zero on that one. No worries there.
I'm sorry.
A couple more to go, and then you'll slot in our leaderboard. Okay. What was your first rally? Where was your first rally win? And where was your most recent win?
My first rally was, it was 2009 in Rally Spain.
Yes, absolutely.
Correct.
Okay.
And then, in WRC, what was your first win?
in WRC, my first win was in juniors, was the Rally Bulgaria in 2010 in JWRC. And with the WRC car, it was 2014 Rally Germany.
Yes. Bang on. And finally, what was your most recent win?
Easy.
The Monte Carlo.
Absolutely spot on. 3 out of 3 for that one. Okay. Final question for a bonus point. You obviously drive for the Hyundai team. Now, what country is Hyundai's headquarters based in?
In Germany.
No, not think about this. Not the WRC team.
Ah, okay.
The Hyundai HQ.
God, don't get this one wrong.
See your PR, yeah, man. Yeah. Where is the Hyundai?
Yeah, I was talking about Motorsport, but Hyundai is a Korean manufacturer.
There we go.
The European HQ is still in Frankfurt.
Okay, I will give you that.
Not far from the motorsport department.
You've clawed it back. I will give you that. I was looking for Korea, South Korea in particular, but you said that. So I'm going to give you the point on that one. So in total, Thierry, you have clocked up. Let me just do the math. 3. That is a solid 9 points out of 13. So not too
difficult question.
Difficult. It's the hardest quiz in motorsport. It's the hardest quiz in motorsport. Yeah. So that puts you on our, we have two leaderboards. We have the overall leaderboard, and that puts you, it's a very competitive leaderboard. So that puts you in, I'm afraid, 14th place out of 20. So bang in the midfield, just below Freddie Hunt, son of James Hunt. But as we are in season 3 of this podcast, we have a season 3 leaderboard as well, and 9 points puts you in 4th, just below Freddie Hunt and above Tom Chilton, so the British touring car driver. So, you know, good names to be surrounded by. So thank you very much, Thierry, for playing Motormouth.
Strong effort. Well done, Thierry. Now listen, I'm curious to know, outside of racing, what other talents have you got? What's a talent that you've got that perhaps the general public don't know anything about, if you have any at all?
Talents, to be honest, I think my only talent is to drive fast with any kind of cars or motorized vehicles. But I have some passions as well, which basically are helicopter flying, and which is something which is not really easy and needed a lot of basically investment for myself to do my license, my flight license, and it's something I enjoy every time I'm able to have a go. And
that's very cool. What sort of helicopter do you fly?
I basically fly two different helicopters, so the R44 from Robinson, which is a 4-seater, but also the 6-seater from Airbus H125. So it's a nice machine with a lot of power.
I can hear family in the background. You're like me. You're trying to hide from children the whole time. It's what I do on a daily basis.
we won't keep you too much longer, Thierry. Just a few more questions coming at you. What are you rubbish at?
Cooking.
You don't do the cooking in the household.
A signature dish?
I have no dish at all.
No dish at all. Not even a dish. No. Fair enough. And so, obviously, as a motorsport, as a racing driver, a lot of traveling is involved. Traveling to so many different countries. How do you manage all that? You know, the different time zones and staying alert and just dealing with all that time on the road.
Basically, I don't know. I'm getting used to it. I mean, doing traveling, I spend probably most of the time on my phone and chatting with friends and calling the manager and the family, but for sure we spend a lot of time traveling and being in the airplanes in the air, but it's part of the job.
Now, Thierry, we have 3 questions which we ask all of our guests, and I'm going to fire them at you now. I'll kick off with the first one. What's got you excited at the moment? And it doesn't have to be racing related, it could be something else entirely, but what's got you excited?
Basically not a lot. I mean, we spend our apartment back here in Monaco, and I don't know what to answer. I mean, my girlfriend.
Oh, bless you.
Lovely.
She'll be pleased to hear that. I suppose we've got, hopefully, the start of the WRC to look forward to. Hopefully that'll come and we can all get excited about that.
If you weren't a racing driver, Thierry, what would you be doing?
But probably I would be a helicopter pilot for a helicopter company. Yep. Or I would be some instructor for, I don't know, driving instructor for any kind of manufacturer, maybe for Ireland.
Oh, very nice.
I'm terrified of helicopters. There's no way.
I've never been in one, I have to say.
I've been in a few. My uncle had a single engine helicopter. One of those, I don't know what you call them, Thierry. It's like a small bubble. Lots of glass, single engine, tiny.
Yeah, it's probably a Robinson helicopter.
Yeah.
A small one, two-seater. Two-seater. R22.
Yeah, two-seater. And it's a horrible experience. And not in control of it. You can see right down through the floor. If that engine goes,
you're done for.
There's
always a safety too. You are always able to come down.
Well, as a parachute, I suppose. You know, there's always that option. Just don't jump up. Finally, a question that throws up all sorts of different answers. What are you scared of?
Let's say probably most scared I'm about spiders.
Have you ever come across any you know, big huntsmen or tarantulas, or is it just a fear that everybody has?
I have seen a couple of big spiders already, especially we are driving through the forests, and sometimes I have to stop between stages even during recce, but I couldn't tell you what spider it was because I was already gone away before I was able to
foot to the floor, go.
So if there's a spider at home, presumably it's not you that goes and gets rid of it and throws it in the toilet, it's your other half.
No, I mean, when they're very small, it's still okay. Once they are bigger than a dump, then it's not getting interesting.
He can drive on the edge of a cliff at 100 miles an hour, but he can't pick up a spider, no.
I'm too much scared about.
Oh dear. Well, Thierry, thank you so much for giving up your time to come on the Motormouth podcast. We really appreciate it. We look forward to when the season gets underway, and fingers crossed for a good end to the 2020 campaign. Cheers, Thierry.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials: Twitter @Motormouth_, Instagram @Motormouth_official, and on Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can download the Motormouth app, where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile and interact with others, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. Don't forget to like, subscribe and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast. We here at Motormouth are a small, independent team. Since starting this podcast just over a year ago, we're reaching over 15,000 of you across 30 countries around the world. And we want to bring the biggest names in motorsport to you. Find out about their lives and careers and have a chat about whatever is going on in the motorsport world. We are determined to carry on producing these episodes. However, they do come at a cost. From securing guests to equipment and editing software and expanding the podcast and app, that's why we've set up a Patreon page where you can help us to carry on doing what we do. There are three levels at which you can contribute, starting from £5 a month to £10 or £20. Each tier allows you slightly different levels of access. Depending on which one you choose, you can enjoy early access to podcast episodes, exclusive member benefits, merchandise, shout-outs, and your chance to feature on one of our shows. Any support you can give us is massively appreciated and will help us grow and continue to bring cool content to race fans all over the world.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.